flour, yeast, salt, and water. That's bread. Or at least it used to be. In some markets and many homes, it still is. In the bread aisle and the bakery section of your favorite grocery store, the bread will have those four ingredients and more ingredients. What are those ingredients? What do they do, and are they good for you? All those are good questions. Today's show is about one of those additional ingredients, potassium bromate. It's called a dough conditioner. What does that mean, to condition the dough? Do artists and bakers use potassium bromate? Let's find out. The Eating Liberty Podcast, episode 251, Food and Freedom, once a week for life. Hello folks, Stan Reed here. Welcome back to the show. This is an episode on ingredients. Well, actually an ingredient. This is a bread ingredient in many commercial breads and maybe a few other things, but we're going to focus on the breads here. Now, if you are a label reader, that is, you read the labels on the foods in the store, you probably know there are plenty of ingredients on most of those foods that you can't grow, pick, or pronounce. One particular ingredient in bread is potassium bromate. When I worked at the Publix bakery, we mixed many of our doughs daily. The process was pretty simple. Measure the flour, the yeast, the salt, add that to the mixing machine, and use the water chilling dispensing machine to add the required amount of water for the amount of flour, mix, bench, divide, shape, proof, or proof and bake for then and there. Now, I remember some of the bags with the words clearly indicating unbromated flour. I'm just like, well, that it was called out seemed interesting, so I asked a fellow baker what bromate was, and he said it's a bleaching agent. Okay, fine, good enough. Let's just continue with the day. So part of the interest to learn more about what potassium bromate is comes from the baking book I'm working on. Part of that inquiry comes from learning more about what's in my food that I only passively accepted. In the course of researching the book, information I found on some posts suggested potassium bromate is potentially carcinogenic. Well, if that's so, that doesn't sound good. So, here's what I found about potassium bromate. Potassium bromate, quote, appears as white crystals or powder, and it is a powerful oxidizing agent which can be easily reduced to bromide. It is the potassium salt of bromate, end quote. Now, if you're already lost or feeling like Jesse to Mr. White, don't worry. This isn't that kind of a show. It could be because there was a lot there, but I'm not going to do that. Potassium salt and potassium bromate are, according to that same site, terms for the same thing. Now, why they do that, I have no idea. What's more relevant to the baker is that potassium bromate is an oxidizing agent. Well, so what? Oxidation ages the flour, chemically ages the flour, which is a benefit to the baker, and also strengthens the gluten network, which helps hold the air bubbles, which also helps increase the loaf's volume. That's a good thing. Artisan bakers don't use potassium bromate. In part, the production quantities are small. So even at the Publix bakery, which I would not go so far as to call that artisanal baking, but it was certainly small quantities even at the biggest store. When you think about Wonder Bread and the thousands of loaves they make, or Nature's Own, or Sara Lee, or any other of the breads you can find on the grocery store shelf from Maine to Mexico. That's serious production. It's divided over various companies over different parts of the country, but it's still massive scale of baking. Now, those companies don't have the luxury of time to allow fermentation and the proving of dough. Potassium bromate has been used as a commercial dough conditioner since 1923. It helped solve the problem of poor and inconsistent quality bread doughs in the process of fast mixing, which companies like that use. They used a fast mixing process because they got a lot of dough to make. So not all innovation is inherently bad. Sometimes the outcomes are not known for some while. And maybe they are all inherently bad, I don't know. But I guess I'm trying to make the case that the attempt to speed production wasn't by itself a problem. Studies of potassium bromate on laboratory rats found a connection to consuming potassium bromate and cancer. The ethics of animal testing is not this show's intent, but it is often the case that tests for things on animals test quantities far in excess to what expected daily exposure for humans would be. Since potassium bromate is in some breads, there's at least a risk. So, what is risk? The hazard, cancer from potassium bromate, multiplied by the exposure, how much does that person eat, equals the risk. Driving a car is a risk. Drinking water is a risk. Sweating at a bee's nest is a risk. In each of these cases, notwithstanding the permission slip you're expected to obtain from your state government to operate a vehicle, each act, driving a car, drinking water, sweating at bees, is a voluntary act. The only way to avoid potassium bromate in commercial breads is don't eat commercial bread. Now, I realize there are flaws in that. The principal point is you have probably been made well aware of the inherent risks of car accidents, drowning in water, or getting stung. Few of you know the risks associated with potassium bromate just from eating a sandwich. You are probably more aware of a choking problem from that sandwich than the long-term exposure which could cause cancer. At least cigarettes give you a fair warning, not so much your bread bag. The Bakery and Snacks website posted an article about potassium bromate. They write that concerns about potassium bromate were first noted in 1948. They also noted that potassium bromate degraded vitamins A2, B1, B2, and niacin. The link they provided for more information was a dead link, so I can't say much more about that. Due to the cancer concerns and the impact on nutrients, the European Union has banned the use of potassium bromate in bread. Potassium bromate is also banned in England, Canada, and California. The EU chose a precautionary position. The Michigan State University Center for Research on Ingredient Safety website writes that the precautionary principle, quote, means if there is a scientific possibility that something harmful could happen, but risk analyses have not proved that it will occur, we should still avoid taking any action or diminish operations until we can scientifically prove safety or demonstrate that the benefits far outweigh the risks of something harmful occurring, end quote. The FDA has determined that 75 milligrams per every 100 grams, for every 1,000 grams of flour is an acceptable amount. The FDA has also encouraged bakeries to voluntarily stop using potassium bromate. I have not looked into the flour mills and if they are adding potassium bromate to their finished milled flour or not. One site suggested potassium bromate needn't be listed as an ingredient on bags of flour, and that seems troubling. Now, I'm no chemist. I did read a few pages that indicate through the baking process with the application of heat, bromate converts to bromide, which Bakerpedia.com indicates is a, quote, harmless form of the oxidizer, end quote. Potassium bromate isn't the only reason to avoid eating commercial breads. The wheat now is far removed from the wheat Granny used. That's more than innovation. There is added sugar in commercial breads. Now, I'm not on the absolutely no sugar ever train, but I am on the holy crap, sugar is nearly every damn thing train. Eating fewer empty calories has to be good. There's also, in bread, the seed oil issue, which is not insignificant. Eating less commercial bread is probably better for you. I fully understand the ease and convenience. Trying to make even half of your own food is an exceptional amount of effort and labor and planning. Homemade doesn't match the expectation of commercial. Make your own mayonnaise and you'll see right away that the commercial stuff is like plastic compared to the homemade. Homemade bread also doesn't compare to the stuff from the store. Homemade bread molds, for one. The commercial bread may not mold. Ever. No kidding. Once, in Tallahassee at the Chef's Club, Governor's Club, I took home a loaf of commercial sourdough sandwich bread from the Flowers Bakery. We bought from them regularly. The restaurant was closed for Christmas break, so we took some loaves of bread home. I didn't open it for a couple of weeks and noticed that it wasn't growing mold. That seemed odd. So, I left it sealed. I left it sealed for a year. The next Christmas, still no mold on the bread, so I threw it away. If they can add such things to bread to prevent mold growing for an entire year, what's in that food, and what's that food doing to the good bacteria in your gut? All right, folks, that's going to do it. I'll add a couple of the links about potassium bromate to the show notes page, culinarylibertarian.com/251. I mentioned the new book. It's coming along, 50 Things to Know About Baking, Pastry, and Confections. It's kind of kicking my tush. It's going slower than I expected, but it is coming along. Have a good week, and I'll see you soon. Music for the Culinary Libertarian Podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.